Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past he walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Let's go a little further on to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians in chapter 2. Verse 3, for sake of time, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in this time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let, until he be taken out of the way. Then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned, who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. The last I want to read is in Revelation 20. We should read a verse in the 19th chapter first, Revelation chapter 19 and verse 20. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he had deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire and brimstone. Chapter 20, verse 1. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and the great chain in his hand, and he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years, cast him into the bottomless pit, shut him up and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled, and after that he must be loosed a little season. Let's look down a little further. Verse 7, and when 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, and Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth, and compassed the camp of the saints about, in the beloved city. And fire came down from God out of heaven, and devoured them. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be, tormented day and night, forever and ever. Verse 14, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Last night we were looking a little bit at the two spirits that's in the world today. That is the Spirit of God, first of all, who is bringing men and women to Calvary for salvation. And also the spirit of the wicked one, or of the devil himself. Tonight I want you to look just for a few minutes to close the meeting. You know something? Through the day we wonder, what are we going to tell the people tonight? And we keep asking God, what's the meeting for tonight? We would like to stick to the gospel of the grace of God, which is the good news. We would like to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ and so on. But then it seems to me it keeps coming back to us. They're not ready for it yet. I wonder if there's somebody ready for salvation tonight. And so we have to keep on preaching both sides of the gospel. And you have already been hearing tonight enough gospel to save a world about the blood of Christ. And I want to say again tonight, it's the only thing that will stand between one soul and the everlasting burning. But take a look at the chart again. We all started here. We've been down that night after night. God made a way from hell to heaven through an open door. He says, narrow is the way that leadeth to life. Narrow is the gate. But wide is the gate. Here's where the gate is, and above Broadway. It's over here. There's no gate other than this one. As a person takes their journey along life's journey. If they don't enter this door, they'll enter this gate. And you can see where it ends. You would think, wouldn't you, everybody would be rushing for that one. Especially those who have been brought up in the gospel halls and hearing the gospel from infancy. You would think they would be rushing for the gate to heaven to make sure that they're going to be in heaven. Now look here again. Because the people's gone through this door here and are on this way, now they can say, I'm saved. The person that has never gone through that door, they were born lost, born dead, and there's no change whatsoever until they come to the article of death. They enter death through the wide gate and land in hell. It's almost too solemn to speak of. But I'm convinced of one thing. We need to keep on preaching the both sides of the gospel. And you have been hearing it tonight in all its plainness. But if you refuse, if you turn down the offers of God's salvation through the precious royal ruby blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, there's nothing but judgment. I want you to look at it. Why is it then that everybody's not rushing for that door? It's because of this. The crowned head of the broad way. And if you think that he's not a person, I want to tell you, you're madly mistaken. People think, oh well, yes, he's just an influence. I want to tell you, he's a real person. He was one of God's mighty angels at one time. He was the most beautiful. He was the greatest. He stood at the throne of God. He was the protector of God's mighty throne. But because of his pride, he lifted himself and he said, I'm going to be like the Most High. God says, no. I prepare hell for you. And that's what hell was prepared for. Never prepared for man. The trouble is this. Those that listen to him and believe his message instead of believing the truth, they're going to the same place. I want you just for a little while tonight, just stop and think about this person and his end. He's alive and well in this world tonight. He's going from heart to heart. He's going from person to person. And wherever the gospel is, he's there. And one thing likely I'll find tomorrow morning and tomorrow, I'll have trouble with him because he doesn't like us talking about him. He wants people just to be lulled to sleep and go on their way and not think about their soul at all. His work is devilish. His work is deceitful. He's a liar from the beginning. And he's keeping people occupied. Some with wealth. Well, there's nothing wrong with wealth. But some people, they're going in for wealth to the extent they haven't time for anything else. We were having meetings in the island, Mr. Rams and I. We were visiting in the afternoon. We went into this farmyard. The man was standing there. We asked him to the meeting. He says, I don't have time. I'm busy, man. I don't have time for that kind of stuff. Mr. Ramsey changed the subject. He said, you got a lovely barn here. And he did. And we looked out in the back and the Ayrshire cows. Lovely herd of cows. Yes, he says, a nice barn. He said, I've got a good farm. Now he begins to talk. He had a lovely house. Everything spelt of wealth. Mr. Ramsey changed the subject to the point. He says, I suppose you have insurance in the barn and the cattle. My dear man, he says, I have insurance in the wife. Everything I've got is insured. He says, you can't be too careful. Of course, he was just walking right into a trap that Mr. Ramsey was late. He says, tell me, sir. He says, has there been any fires around here lately? Oh, well, no, he said, I haven't heard of a fire for maybe 30 years. Tell me, he said, has there been any deaths? Oh, deaths, he says, deaths every year. Two or three people from around this district have gone this year. Deaths, yes. Mr. Ramsey turned to me, he says, let's go, this man's a fool. I thought it was kind of rough. But he said, what do you mean? Well, he says, I can understand you have an insurance on your farm and your house and your wife and your cattle. I can understand that. But he says, I cannot understand you not having insurance on your soul that's going to exist forever. But he wouldn't come to me. Because. But then there's other young people growing up in Christian homes, and likely some of them meeting tonight, and you've got your eye on the other side. And you're thinking, my, I'm so glad God didn't allow me to do this. But I often thought of it. When I get away from my mother's apron strings, and when I get away from a father that's so, I'll get out and I'll have my fling in the world. My, I'm so glad I didn't. But maybe there's somebody in the meeting, that's what you're thinking. When I get my education and when I get my everything together and I'm going to go in for it and I'm going to make some money and so on, that's all very good, it's a good intention. But my friend, I want to ask you tonight, are you going to fulfill it? If that's what's going to keep you from God's salvation, and there's no reason for it to keep you from it, God's salvation is easy to carry. I often say it's like an education. It doesn't, once you have it, it doesn't weigh very much. You can carry it with you. You can enjoy it, as our brother was saying, and you can go in for seeing others saved and enjoying God's salvation. So it's not hard to carry, and you can take it along with you. And what's more, if you have God's salvation, He will allow you, and He will be able to help you all in your work and whatever. Oh, my friend, let me ask you again, are you going to let what it may be? And I could tell you story after story, I'm not going to have time, but I could tell you story after story of people, the husband kept them back. And one man said, I couldn't get saved the first time I had meetings with my father way back years ago. Tent was right beside his house. He gave us the land for the tent. He came every night for a while, then he wouldn't come. We went in to see him. Dad says, you haven't been out, Fred. Is there something wrong? Have we said something to annoy you? No, he said, I know what you're saying is the truth. Well, he says, do you ever think about getting saved? He says, think about it. Yes, I thought about it. But he says, I've come to the conclusion, I couldn't get saved and living the way I'm living. I'll not tell you how he's living. My father said, listen, Fred, whatever you do, put everything to the one side and get your soul saved. Let everything bend towards it. It doesn't matter what it is. There's nothing worth losing your soul for. He came another night. That was it. 3 weeks after the meetings were finished, the tent was down. He went out into the woods to find his deer. Two other men in the same woods, following a deer, following tracks. And all of a sudden, the sun. He made the motion for his father to stop. And then he pointed to the bushes. Both got down their knee and both rifles were leveled. Both rifles cracked. And they found their mark. When they got to what they thought was their deer, it was the body of Fred Slonery. Only a matter of months from the time he couldn't get saved because of the way he was living. He's in eternity. What happens?
You see, the crown here.
But I want to go on a little further. After this is all over, and after this has happened, and the bodies of the Christians have been laid, and gone home to heaven, there's going to be this terrible tribulation, and again, he comes into play. And what's he doing? He has a man, the man of sin. He could be living right now. We don't know. And the man of sin will come upon the scene. He's not just a sinful man. He's a man of sin. He's permeated with it. And if you think that the newspaper today and the televisions are bringing out some of the atrocities that's happening from day to day on the news, it's dreadful. Now listen, if you think the world's in a mess today, can you imagine what it would be when this person is gone? The Holy Spirit. He's in the world today, and it says there in 2 Thessalonians where we read, he's holding back, he's keeping back an avalanche of sin. That's his work in the world today. And while the Christian is here, at least that's the salt of the earth. But when the Christians are gone here at the rapture, and now this poor ungodly scene is left to the man of sin that will rise up. And if you think this man of sin, if you think that Hitler was bad, he's worse. If you think that Saddam Hussein is terrible, and he is, this man is worse. This man is permeated with sin. And if you think it's dreadful for a woman not to be able to get on some streets of Vancouver after dark today, can you imagine what it will be like when there's no restraint? Because the Spirit of God that's holding back and keeping back an avalanche of sin right now, when he's gone with the saints, the man of sin will be revealed. What a day. What a day. But now wait a minute. That's not going to go on forever. Once the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, the man of sin, the beast, and the false prophet, they go straight for this fire. No judgment thrown for them. But there doesn't need to be. They go straight for the lake of fire. The devil that deceived them, he goes to the bottom of the pit. 1,000 years. While the Lord Jesus Christ will reign in that millennium, so this world tonight is not over tomorrow. It's not over in years to come. There's 1,000,000 years yet to come and go in the great millennium when the Lord Jesus Christ will rise and reign from the river to the ends of the world. What a day that will be when he reigns. And when this person is down in the bottomless pit, shut up and sealed over, they can't get out. But when this 1,000 years are over, now he's let out of the prison for a moment. And he goes out to fight against this one that comes back to the earth. And he goes up in the camp of the saints. And wouldn't you think for a moment, just stop and consider this. The fact that he's able to come back from the bottomless pit and deceive so many people that he has an army to go against the Lord Jesus. Now stop and consider this. If people will follow him after he's been in the bottomless pit, if he can still deceive people then, what do you think he's doing with you now? can't you see? Oh, I wish I could get it across to you. For a vocabulary, just to explain to you what the devil's doing with you, taking you along day by day, day by day, till you come to the end of the journey. Because he wants, he desires. He doesn't care about your soul, but he wants to have you in hell because he wants to upset
the ways of God. God would have all men to be saved. There's provision provided for everyone, and I say it without reserve. There's not a person that ever was on the scene of earth from the seed of Adam, but what could have been in heaven? The Lord Jesus Christ that made the door to heaven. He died for the sins of the whole world.
And friend, if you ever find yourself outside the door of heaven, you won't be able to blame God. He would have shown you mercy. But he's not going to take conscripts, only volunteers. You know why? Because every person that gets saved is part of the bride of Christ. You see, when the Lord Jesus came into this world, God sent him here up on earth to take from this world a bride for himself. You see, it's not only a matter of being saved from hell, and if that was all there was to it, I would thank God the rest of my days. If that's all I had to do was escape the damnation of hell. But more than that, I'm going to be in heaven forever. Not only that, I'm part of the bride of Christ himself. And he sent his son into the world to provide and to procure that bride. And he's paid the price. So God is not going to take them. You know, when a man or woman gets married, whoever's marrying them will say to the man, "Will you take this woman to be your lawful wedded wife?" And he says, "I do." He says to the woman, because the contract's not over yet, he says to the woman, "Will you take this man to be your husband?" And she says, "I do." Now they can be linked together. The Lord Jesus Christ is not going to go into this world and demand and make people trust him and be part of his bride unless they want to be and unless they can appreciate him and they fall in love with him. And that's the reason why we preach the gospel. I would far rather be home tonight. But the reason why we keep on telling out the wonderful message of the gospel, we love him. If only we could tell him the way we'd like to, I'm sure you'd make him yours today. But let's look a little further.
Now, the great fight is on, and the devil loses. He's cast into the lake of fire. This happened 1,000 years before. Didn't we read it in Revelation 19? The beast and the false prophet cast into the lake of fire while he was in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. Now look and see what it says here. He's loosed out. The fight is on. The battle of Armageddon. And then he is cast. Where? Into the lake of fire. Where the beast and the false prophet are. Revelation 19, read it when you go home. They have been 1,000 years there already. And it says where they are and shall be tormented forever and ever.
I'll be glad to see him go. Because he has deceived my own family. Is that all? I wish that was all. But I have to tell you what the last verse of Revelation chapter 20 tells us.
Those that stand at the door, at the throne, they're cast into the lake of fire. The same place the beast and the false prophet.
of our past doom a thousand years before. The place where the devil is cast in.
Now you come to the last verse. Whosoever's name was not found written in the book of life. My dear friend, in this meeting night, let me ask you, is your name in the book white and fair? Can you look back to a moment in your experience when you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ and appreciated the precious blood that was shed? Now let me tell you, in love to your soul, I have to be faithful with you. I would rather tell you about the love of God, but I have to tell you, the other side of the story is this. If you continue on that way and will not come to this door, there's absolutely no way of escaping it. And then somebody comes up with the idea, how could a lake last forever of fire? Do you know there's lakes of fire in the heavens right now? They're called the little dwarfs. Stars that will never burn out. Because they're compressed to such an extent that that's annoying. Now I don't know what will happen in a future day. God may put them all out, I don't know. But I do know this, the very fact that they're up in the heavens right now. And the scientist has to admit it. Only proves the fact. The lake of fire. Forever. You know, sometimes we're called to preach the funeral of someone that never made any confession. In fact, sometimes we've had to go to the funeral of those that were dead against the gospel. It's hard to preach. It's hard to speak. Because we're wondering, where are they? Friend, in this meeting tonight, don't let the devil cheat you any further. But there's nothing, absolutely nothing. There's absolutely nothing. I don't care. Come up with all the excuses. Come up with all the different things that's holding you back. Come up with all the different things that would keep you from God's salvation. Come up with them all and put them beside the lake of fire and ask yourself the question, is it worth it? And if you're honest before God, you'll have to say it's not even worth hell, first of all. Because those that die in their sins, they go down to hell, the prison house. Till the day of the judgment. And then, the lake of fire. Time is gone, but let me say this. Someday time will be finished. The angel will have stood on the shore and on the land and proclaimed time no longer. Eternity. 21 years ago almost, when the old Pratt and Whitney spluttered with almost a full load of boards, there's only one place to go. We're only 15 feet above the trees to start with. And into the forest. No sooner had that thing struck the ground and there was a ball of smoke. I can see it rising into the heavens yet, into that July the 1st clear open morning. The aviation fuel sending up the black smoke and it just struck me, the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever. I didn't know I was burnt for a while. It was at least a half an hour before I felt it. I suppose it was a shock. But when those men were pushing that truck as fast as they could to the hospital, now it started. It accumulated. And I said, boys, I said, I'm hurt. I didn't know it. But all I had on was just something around my waist. 47% of the body burnt with 3 degrees. I didn't know it. But now it starts. When I went up onto the ramp into the emergency. One man holding me in his arms and the other man driving like fury. And he's trying to talk to me and settle me down. He says, we'll soon be there. You're big and strong. You can stand it. We'll soon be in the hospital. You have no idea what it's like to have somebody to do that. And I thought to myself so many times, there's nobody like that in hell. Finally, we went up onto the ramp. I said, tell me, boys, tell me, what is hell going to be like? They didn't answer. And for 3 hours, I knew nothing about what it was to have pain alleviated. They couldn't give me anything for 3 hours until they got the morphine. And I can't explain to you tonight, what it was like. But that was just for a little while. That's 20 years ago. It's fading in my mind. But it's still there. But what will it be for a sinner to die in his sins and go to the lake? Forever? I hope somebody will wake up tonight. Or should I say, I hope that the Spirit of God will arouse you, that will speak to you, and let you realize there is a way to heaven. There's a door that's been opened wide. It's through the precious, precious blood of Christ. If you will avail yourself of it, you can go to heaven forever. I don't care who you are in the meeting. There's not a person here but what could be. Lord, may God help you to see your condition. Lead you to see your condition.